pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
It is Tuesday, and we are happy to be here. What a night last night was, Monday night, as we moved on to the Final Four in the women, just like we have in the men. Let's get started with some headlines before the guests start dropping by. And LSU's odyssey comes to an end as it cannot quite keep pace with Caitlin Clark. Afterwards, a lot of disappointment and a lot of interesting comments, including Angel Reese.
Yeah, we've seen everything this year. We have been through so much adversity. So I'm more than proud of this team. We don't have that much depth. We had some injuries. I took some time away from the team. So many things happened this year, and so many things hit us, and we never folded. And just being able to come out tonight and give our all for 40 minutes, we came up short, but we have to keep our heads high.
I feel like I got to be better. Just communicating with my team better, getting us into the offense better. Like, I got to be better. I think as a team, that third quarter, you know, kind of went under, never came back up per se, you know what I'm saying? But it was just, it was small mistakes. So it was everything, everyday things we do in practice that, you know, bad pass here, turnover here, defense mis-execution, transition, you know what I'm saying? So it's going to be things that we got to clean up, but we take that on the chin.
LSU stays home, and the Gamecocks continue on. And speaking of that, Camila Cardoso declaring for the 24 WNBA draft, and for good reason. She's projected to go number four. You see who's at number one? Caitlin Clark. So, football season is around the corner, and Jesse Simonton asked in On Three, how many teams can win the 24 national championship? We know about Kirby Smart. We probably know about Ohio State. Alabama, are they a factor? Ole Miss? We'll talk about it. Jesse, thanks for the time. Great to have you on board, and cannot wait to find out who else is going to be competing, because there will be 12 teams in the new tournament. Good afternoon. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Paul. The expanded 12-team playoff is certainly going to gender up, I think, you know, more optimism for a greater number of fan bases. There's going to be a bigger representation. But in reality, I think it's actually going to be an even smaller pool of which teams can win a championship. We're talking about, you know, schools having to play a record, maybe 17 or 18 games this fall. That number could possibly increase, you know, if we continue to expand this playoff. So it's going to really be about, you know, how much attrition can your roster withstand? You know, the body blow theory, how much pounding can you have? And so it's going to be the teams, frankly, that are the most stacked with blue chip talent. Now, that's always been the case, but we've seen a school like TCU in recent years get to the national championship, Washington this past season. I think it's going to be even harder for those types of programs, even the very, very good teams, to make the national championship now that we've actually expanded the playoff.
Jesse, let's look at who is realistic. And I won't ask you to talk about Georgia. We know that. I'm assuming Ohio State. But once we get those two off the board, I think they'll be number one and two. I'm going to start with Texas. They're new to the SEC. They are not new to the playoff after last year. Quinn Ewers, what about the Longhorns?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that Texas would qualify among this short list of contenders that I'm talking about. So historically, Paul, if you've had a 50% roster, when you're talking about transfers and prep recruits, if 50% of your roster has been at least a 4 or 5 star prospect, you have been considered a national championship contender in the modern era, basically since the BCS. That has withstood every single national championship, I think, up to this point. However, now that we're talking about having to maybe win 3 or 4 games to go through the playoff, we don't know what that threshold is going to be. Could it be 60%? Could it be 70%? If it's, say, 70%, we're talking about only 4 teams a year ago that would have qualified. That would have been Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, and Alabama. Now, Michigan would be an outlier there because they have been probably perhaps the best developmental program in recent memory because they have 18 guys that were just invited recently to the NFL Combine. So if you take away that historical outlier, you're talking about maybe Texas and Oregon joining that group here in 2024. So it's a very short list.
Alabama's automatic. They always are, but this seems different, does it not, with Alabama being a couple of spots behind where they usually are?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because they obviously have a roster that looks quite a bit differently than when, Nick Saban was the head coach, because you have a guy like Caleb Downs leave. You have Isaiah Bond, one of your top receivers, go to now an SEC rival in Texas. But overall, when you stack these top recruiting classes, Paul, there's still, a nice foundational build there for Kalen DeBoard. And I'm someone, you've had me on here several times. I'm someone that, yes, the Kalen DeBoard hire was uncharacteristic in terms of not many people would have ever circled his name to be Nick Saban's successor, but that doesn't mean it can't be successful. And I'm very confident that he's going to produce a winner for the Tide. He's not going to replicate Nick Saban's historical success, but I do think that he's going to continue to make sure that Alabama's positioned to compete for championships.
Ole Miss has come close a few times. They always seem to lose that one game that would get them in. They don't have to worry about that one game this time around. How well suited are they right now to make a run?
See, this is where I think it's – and I used it – I joked in my column, the Miracle Max from Princess Bride. There's a difference between being almost dead and dead. Well, there's a big difference between making the college football playoff, I think, in the 12-team field now, and winning the college football playoff. I would have Ole Miss in that making the college playoff category. This is a team that's never even won the SEC West. So when you're talking about the fact that they may have to – win multiple games, possibly an SEC championship to get in, or if they sneak in as an at-large, you're looking at having to win maybe four games. I'm not sure that is the type of roster that has the depth, because, again, that they don't even right now qualify for that 50% blue chip threshold. So I'm not sure that they could actually withstand four straight games of having to beat increasingly better competition each week.
What about Missouri, a team that a lot of the prognosticators have fallen in love with, at least preseason?
Count me in on that group, but that is really high on the Tigers. I mean, I have a column at On3 from just 2 weeks ago saying that they have the makeup of a college football playoff contender. Again, I think that's where we have to kind of separate things from contender to championship aspirations. A lot of these teams maybe have championship aspirations, but can you actually win the title? I don't foresee Missouri being a team that can win it, but I do think that they're a team that could make the dance.
And finally, LSU. We know they're going to be prominent on draft night. They were not that prominent at the end of last season because of the defense. Are they in any better shape this year around?
They might be the trickiest team to kind of handicap of this entire group, Paul, because they do have the requisite blue chip talent. Brian Kelly has done really well continuing the recruiting momentum from the Ed Orgeron regime. He's done a nice job assembling some talent from the transfer portal. I just frankly think, and this is again where we don't have the data yet to know if a team like Ole Miss could do it, but we'll find out this fall. Are they too top heavy on one side of the ball? They're going to return, I think, a really nice offensive line. They have the receiver talent that's even going to follow in the footsteps of Neighbors and Brian Thomas. A lot of folks are optimistic about Garrett Nussmeier. But what about that defense? The entire staff looks different. The secondary is still a sieve, and they haven't been able to address that via the portal. I have some real concerns about LSU defensively still. So we'll see. They qualify and check some boxes in some areas, and yet kind of, still seem like they have too many holes in some others.
Jesse, at the beginning, I blew past Georgia because we know that they check almost every box. But considering what they've done in the past, how would you compare them right now in relation to being able to not only get through the regular season, but survive the gauntlet once the playoff starts?
Well, I think to kind of circle back to Georgia is probably a great place to end this, because part of the impetus for this piece was that Kirby Smart had did a Q&A with ESPN where he kind of discussed his thoughts on a number of topics, including the 12-team playoff. And one of the things he commented on is that, hey, now you can lose a game or two and your team can still remain invested and they can still, you know, have those championship hopes and get to the playoff and find your footing and get hot. No team like Georgia is the primo example for why this should scare the hell for the rest of college football. There's only a few schools that can withstand these mulligans and then have the depth to get hot and run the table. Georgia's like that. A 9-3 Alabama team, hypothetically this season, that has a couple hiccups early in Kalen DeBoer's tenure, but then still has the requisite talent and depth at the end. They could do the same thing. So I think Georgia is extremely well positioned, not only this fall with Carson Beck and what they're returning on a young defense, but kind of in the foreseeable future, because that roster is going to be positioned as such where you lose a game or two, the season's not over, and you're going to have, especially as depth and attrition across the board has sapped these rosters because of the portal, you're going to be better suited than any other program.
Jesse Simonton from On3, always great to have him on. We'll take a short break. We are just beginning on this Tuesday afternoon. We'll head into a number of other areas as well. Your phone calls are around the corner. Much to do here on the second day of April.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
As well, and Kurt Benker joining us later. A lot of quarterback conversation. Of course, Bat Braswell just played in the national semifinals. Let's start with Bash in Boulder. Good afternoon, Bash.
Good afternoon, Bash Brother Paul. Thank you for taking my call. Is Randy in the studio today?
I think Randy worked yesterday, so that means he probably has to take today off.
Dang, I usually think it's the other way around. Like, he takes the Mondays off, but...
His schedule got out of whack this week because of the legal holiday Friday. He found that he had one legal, more day he could burn.
Right before the month starts, I was like, yeah, I got to take the first of the month off. It's like, yeah, that makes sense. But, Paul, that was a great start to the show. Great interview to get things started. I see the brackets looking cutting down to the wire now today. We got AJ going against Ricky from Mississippi.
Correct.
We got what else we got? We got
really,
I-Man
really
going
close
against
one between Squirrel and Cat Daddy.
I know, the reigning defending champion trying to do the same thing like South Carolina is and get back to the Final Four. And obviously, once he gets there's no stopping South Carolina or Cat Daddy. So, Paul, I got to ask you. going into this weekend. Who do you think which of the teams do you think has a better chance of upsetting? The men's North Carolina State team or the women's North Carolina State team?
I believe the men have a better shot than the women.
Absolutely correct, because beating the South Carolina Gamecocks at this point in the season is almost impossible. If not, maybe Caitlin Clark do it with that momentum that she created yesterday. That was absolutely, Paul, when you were watching that game and you were watching that third quarter, that must have been the ultimate meltdown in LSU women's basketball history. What did you think about that?
Well, they simply made a lot of mistakes, and in a pressurized game, and that's the most pressurized game all year, you can't do that. And I mean, there are a lot of things that went wrong from the coaching to the play on the court.
I agree with that, and also I think we can both say that Dwayne was probably going to that game very extra confident, talking about the Hawkeyes were going to get their feathers plucked, and it looks like Caitlin Clark skinned that tiger clean and is wearing their fur as their coat today. So definitely got to give her props today, Paul, and she is absolutely unbelievable. She is the face of college basketball, and the only thing that can stop her momentum is Dawn Staley and the South Carolina Gamecocks, so it looks like waiting for a collision course in that Sunday.
Thanks, Pat. Appreciate it very much. Matt is up next in San Antonio.
Hey, Britter, how you doing, Paul? I wanted to tell you I'm doing better today. My counselor gave me some advice that for me to get over some anger, I should look myself in the mirror and say, who's staring back at me? And I don't recognize myself. So I want you guys to know that first and say I appreciate you always being there for me, Paul. All of you guys that are like my brothers. And I want to talk about this whole Texas thing. Why people want to bash A&M? Yeah, we sucked last year. I'm not going to deny that. But all I hear, I'm not saying you're saying it, Paul, is that they're comparing Mike Elko's staff he brought in to Jimbo Fisher's. And I'm sick of hearing it, man. It is
well,
so
man,
idiotic.
I tell you what, people are sick of hearing you because you've been saying the same thing about every coach.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I was wrong about Jimbo. I can admit when I'm wrong.
So why should we believe you now?
At the same time, Mike Elko did lesser talent and developed that program at Duke. I was wrong about Jimbo Fisher in the end because he couldn't do crap at A&M.
Yeah.
But to compare these two is stupid. They're not going to win the SEC the first year. The only reason why they won the Big 12 because the Big 12 sucked. It's a worthless conference. Right now, they're bringing better teams to actually make them better. But overall, there's only a couple of teams in the Big 12 who's actually good. Kansas State, Kansas, Texas, some other ones, Oklahoma State. Overall, Big 12 is a worthless conference. For them to think they're going to win it, I'm sorry, it's delusional. Georgia's going to give them a slap in the face to show them that you're not going to come in here and win the SEC just like that. They only won it because the Big 12 sucks. Okay? And I don't care. Let them have a poster of us on their thing, how they beat us in college field. But everybody wants to think like Mike Elko's going to suck. He's not going to do nothing with us. You know, let them get the last laugh in the end. Because this year, Mike Elko's going to prove everybody wrong.
Thanks for the call, Matt. JB is up next.
Hey, Paul. I've been calling your show since, let's say, 2013-ish. I think you were probably in Birmingham at the time. And I've been passionate about Alabama basketball since, you know, around then. I think I started watching Anthony Grant was the coach. And yesterday I was just felt like there was not a lot of people calling, to congratulate the top. It means so much to me. And like I was actually emotional. I was in a bar in Huntsville with a bunch of guys and I think we're up 7 with, 45 seconds to go or something like that. And I just had to, walk away. What this team has done, and you've done a great job of giving them kudos, but I can't believe they've done what they've done. On a year of this year of all years, last year we had the second player taken in the draft in Brandon Miller, and this year they talk about the defense is what it is. I mean, it's just amazing, and I don't know if they've really gotten the respect that they deserve just yet.
I'm not sure they do. I tell you something about it, JB. I have a lot of friends of mine who are older than you who lived through all the things that you've heard about your whole life. And I think they are emotional as well. It's a very big deal. And I was talking to a friend of mine connected to the SEC today. And the fact that it's the first time the SEC has had a Final Four team since 2019 is extraordinary. Kentucky hasn't been there since 2015. And that's the standard bearer. So it's a very significant event.
I wanted to tell you a quick tidbit. So I was gone in South Carolina for Army training for a month. I went there February 26, a month on from there. I was in Columbia, and while I was up there, I was in a school, and it was getting to be the last week, and I needed a haircut. So one of the instructors lines up a guy, and he's my buddy, and he goes, "Hey," and they know now I'm an Alabama fan. They, you know, I've been yelling Roll Tide to everybody. And he said, "Hey, I got my guy come over here. He's going to give everybody haircuts." He said, his name's Pringle. He said, "I think his brother is from Alabama or goes to Alabama or something." And I'm in my head, I'm like, there's no way. So he gets him on the phone. He calls me. He said, "Hey, yo, what's your brother's name?" He said, "Oh, you mean Nick?" I said, "Are you kidding me?" So Nick Pringle's brother comes up here to the academy to cut my hair and a bunch of other soldiers' hair. And while he's up there, and I don't know if you knew this, you do know that Nick didn't fly with the team originally to Spokane, correct?
No, I did not realize that.
Okay, so the team flew without Nick, and I don't know what's been, you know, he's been kind of up down with the coaching staff. So while we're sitting there getting my hair cut, Nick's brother is talking on the phone with his mom. The team got together and paid for Nick to fly out to Spokane. I assume they kind of got together and the coaches were like, you know, "Nick, we need you. We're kind of maybe teaching a little lesson here. We didn't want to bring you out with the team, but, you know, if you can get here, we need you here." And, that sure turned out to play dividends for the last four games, didn't it?
That is a fantastic story. JB, thanks so much, and thank you for what you're doing for all of us. So we appreciate it. We're up against the break. We have a long way to go. Many guests will be dropping by. Your phone calls continue on a Tuesday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And welcome back. Let's continue. And Daryl in Georgia is up next. Hey, Daryl.
Well, I guess first, congratulations to Alabama for making a Final Four. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not like – it ain't as hard as it used to be to make it the Final Four. But still, good for them, you know.
Daryl, why is it easier today than it used to be?
Because of the one and done.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because back in the day, these schools, these kept these players together for 3 or 4 years. They didn't leave early and go pro. Oh. And they were harder to beat.
Alabama lost the best player in the United States last year in college basketball. Do you realize that?
One player?
Well, it wasn't just one player. I mean, they lost a number of them, but they lost the single best player in this country.
Well, why would you say he was the single best player?
Well, because in the NBA draft, he was taken second behind a player from Europe. So that's how I determined he was the best player.
So has he turned out? Is he playing well enough to be still considered the best player?
He's actually doing pretty well, Daryl, but I realize that you probably don't get cable, so you haven't seen him play.
Oh, that's funny. Hey, Paul. I mean, the good route, this is where the road ends. This is where the road is going to end for them. They're not going to be UConn. They're going to get stomped.
Well, Daryl, excuse me. Let me congratulate you as well. Hold on one second, Daryl. Congratulations. Your team, the University of Georgia, is also in the Final Four.
We checked the Final Four off our bucket list years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Paul, I got a question for you.
You guys had the number one player in the draft a couple of years ago. I'm not even sure you made the NCAA tournament.
We did not. Football. You know what I mean? You know who will be? You know who will be the preseason number one, right?
Yeah, same one that and was preseason again, number one last year that lost to Alabama and did not even win a conference championship.
By 3 points. Yeah. Whoopee doo. They didn't want a rematch. You know what I mean? They didn't want the rematch.
Yeah, I don't
we
think
all know
really
that.
Care.
We all know those four teams don't want to play Georgia again. Paul, I got a question for you.
You got your runner up ring from last year, Daryl?
Paul, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Why did Nick Saban, why do you think Nick Saban had success at LSU and success at Alabama at a collegiate level, but not at the pro level?
I don't know. He spent 5 years at LSU and 17 at Alabama. He only spent 2 years in Miami, and his organization whiffed on the quarterback. That's why he only lasted 2 years there.
That's the excuse he uses, right? That ain't it. He got in there and he said, you know what? The process isn't going to work here. You know why? Because these players are already getting paid. You know what I mean? That's why it's not going to work. Paul, I got one more question for you. What's the difference between a hippo and a Zippo?
I don't know, Daryl. I'm not as smart as you.
A hippo is a lot heavier, and a Zippo is a little lighter. See you, Paul.
Hey, G, how are you doing? You. Maybe we can get a good call
hey,
from Georgia.
Paul. How you doing today, brother?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
I hate to come behind that. I'm a Georgia fan, but I tell you, man, some of us, I don't know. But anyway, Paul, I want to give a shout-out to Mike White and my Georgia Bulldogs playing up in Butler, on the campus of Butler University tonight. You know, Paul, to have Georgia playing in April is something big for some of the fans down here because normally, like you said, we're out around February when the SEC tournament is over with. And so I just want to give a shout out
hey,
to Mike
way,
White.
I agree
and
with
the
you.
Bulldogs
because,
and,
I think, I mean, Daryl didn't even know Mike White was there. Mike White's a really good coach, and I think they'll be in the tournament next year. This is a good experience for that team.
I agree. I do agree. And Paul, I just want to keep this conversation short. I'm doing good, and everything's going well with me on my dialysis and everything. I'm just, you know, we're having a good spring starting off so far. Can't wait to see the Georgia Bulldogs spring game. And I'm going to tell you, legend, I would take Alabama the points because I do think UConn is really, really ready for that one game that they're not going to be on par, but they're going to keep it close. But I still think Alabama can cover the points spread.
Well, G, the best news I've heard all day is that you're doing a little bit better and you continue to hang in there. And it's always a joy for all of us to hear from you. You be well. Take care of yourself. Let's check in with Swamp Dog. 3 Georgia calls in a row. What did we do to ourselves?
Yes, hello, sir.
Hello, dog.
Hey, Mr. Paul. Yeah, Daryl aggravated me with that call because I was going to brag on my Georgia Bulldogs being in the NIT, too. I mean, I think they were – that's an accomplishment. I know we're a football school, but to be still alive at this time of the year and in the Final Four of that, that's pretty good to me. And let me tell you this. The you know, when you look at the tournament, the big tournament, the big dance, you got Alabama, they might win a championship. You got South Carolina, they might win a championship. And you could have Georgia win a championship in the NIT. That'd be 3 SEC champions in basketball in the same year. Is that not something to be a little bit proud of, wouldn't you think?
That's something to be proud of.
Yeah, I think so. And, I don't know why. You know, it's always hard for Georgia to win in basketball. It always has been since Dominique Wickham was there. But, you know, I'm proud of them when they get this far. And they're playing tonight. They're going to – out of these 3 teams, let me
ask
you this,
Paul. Well, there's only 2 college basketball games tonight, so I'll be watching. I know you will, too.
Yep. They've got Indiana State and Utah are going to play first, and then Georgia will play Seton Hall.
Yes, sir.
You take – what do you think about Georgia's chances out of those 3 other than,
well,
you know?
I
they could beat all
Yeah, they could win it all, and I hope they do. So, thanks, Swamp Dog. Do appreciate it. Let's move along and check out Sparks, who is up next. Hey, Sparks.
Hey, Brother Paul. Nick Saban and the Dolphins, he left. The next year, they were like, start out 12-0.
First of all, Nick Saban only spent 2 years there. His first year, he did pretty well. He was not as much of a disaster as Darrell tried to make him out to be.
Yeah, I know it, man.
And by the way, I didn't want to remind Darrell that one of his assistant coaches in Miami was Kirby Smart.
Huh. Ain't that something?
That may have been the problem.
Yeah. They call it Alabama Cinderella or North Carolina State Cinderella? Maybe that'd be the championship.
I think North Carolina State is more the Cinderella. Alabama was the number four seed. They were a good team all year. North Carolina State had to win 5 games straight in its own tournament. That is virtually impossible to do. Hey, thank you for the call. Steve is up next. Good afternoon. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Paul, 2 days back-to-back, man, getting through. This is
great
awesome.
Great to hear from you. Thank you.
First, I'll send the prayers out to G. And second one is I love JB's call. Hey, JB, we're all calling in and rooting and everything for Bama now. And I would like to add that we love listening to you just – make a fool out of Darrell. It's so great.
Steve, I'm always up for a challenge. And, sometimes you get into a back and forth with a caller, and it's not easy. You have to really dig deep. I mean, Darrell is like holding both of my hands behind my back. It's not even fair, is it?
Well, Paul, the reason I tried to get in at the end of the call yesterday, and I didn't listen to watch any shows this morning, but yesterday, I'm like JB, man. It was like Greeny and everybody. They're all talking about, UConn. Who do they match up with better? Is it Purdue or NC State? It's like all day yesterday, nothing at all about Alabama. I mean, there were two guys. And I don't remember, but, they talk pretty good about Bama. And I'm telling y'all now, they better watch out. It's going to happen.
Listen, thank you very much, Steve. We're up against a break. More to come. A lot of guests will start popping back in. We've already talked to Jesse Simonton. Your phone call is right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We are back, and we've heard a lot of reaction to last night's game. So much looking ahead to this weekend as well. And we check in next with Keith in Missouri. Hello, Keith. Good afternoon.
Thank you for taking my call, Paul. I just wondered why Tennessee got rid of their girls basketball coach. I thought she did an excellent job. They almost beat South Carolina, but got beat on a last second shot by a girl who never shoot anything from outside. And I thought they had a good team chemistry. That proves that the SEC, if you don't win, you don't stay, I guess.
Well, Keith, I can only rely on friends of mine who are fans of the program, and they said the same thing you did. Kelly was liked very much in the community and beloved as a former player, and I mean, her record was good. It was not Geno-like or Pat-like or Dawn Staley-like, but it was certainly the program was ascending, and it just had not quite gotten past the round of 16. So I don't know what the athletic director was thinking. This is a guy that has done a lot of good things up there, and he obviously wants all of his own people. She was a hire by Philip Fulmer, and I can't really come up with another explanation of why she was let go.
Thank you, and you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too. Thank you very, very much for the phone call. Well, let's continue with more calls, and Kevin is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Kevin. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Talked to you about a year ago, Paul, and I was talking about Alabama when Brandon Miller was playing.
Oh, yeah.
And I wound up getting cancer and going into a coma right during the tournament. And I woke up, and he just got put out. But I beat my cancer, Paul, and I'm a survivor. And I was just wanting to kind of brag on the basketball team this year. They surprised me.
Hold on a second, Kevin. I appreciate you bragging on the team. I want to brag on you. How did you get through all this? This is quite a difference in a year.
Well, Paul, I was in a coma for a month. And the tumor just grew real aggressive, and I got sent to Nashville, and they did immediate surgery on me. Thank the Lord, a doctor knew about the kind of cancer that I had. The skipper on Gilligan's Island was one of the famous people that had it. Maybe 100 people in the world has ever had it, and he was one of them. But
so where were you? So you were treated, you said, in Nashville?
Yes, at Centennial Hospital.
Wow.
And I fell into a coma, and I woke up 3 days right before the Alabama San Diego State game, and my brother told me, which I couldn't talk, really didn't know what was going on, but he told me about they had a chance to go, and I got to go home to do rehab, but I remember riding home in the ambulance that night and kept up with the basketball game on my phone, but Alabama got beat. But I was wanting to brag on them this year for where they came from. I remember, I think, 75 Alabama team when C.M. Newton was coaching. They played Indiana, and really good team, and they had a chance to do it then, but they didn't.
Yeah, that was another Kevin, team. That was the 1976 season when Indiana
had
a perfect record,
76.
And they ended up having to play Indiana in the regional Sweet 16. C.M. Newton always told the story that Bobby Knight afterwards said, "You were the best team we played all year." And because of the way it was done back then, where you literally went to the region that you were geographically attached to, Alabama should have been probably the number two seed in the whole tournament, but instead they got the worst possible draw.
Well,
but you're right.
I remember that. I mean, you didn't have ESPN back then. I mean, it was NBC or whatever. I kept up with it through radio and stuff like that. And then I was going to get with the other team that I thought should have got a hold of a hot Billy Donovan team at Providence. I think that was 84, 85, Paul, in Louisville?
That was 87, in fact. And
87, okay.
Alabama played Providence. I'm trying to remember that game. Yeah, I think that game in 87 was maybe in the regional. They played Billy Donovan. Rick Pitino coached that team.
Yes, at Providence. Yeah, and it was at Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah, that was in 87. You're right. That was a Sweet 16 game.
And, yeah.
That team was a very underachieving team. I remember being at that game, and we were distraught when it was over.
Right. But I thought those were two teams that – you know, had a good chance to a last year's team, and then we fell short. But this year was a surprise, and I'm happy for them, and I hope they do good. And one other thing, too, my daughter's a big Tennessee fan, Lady Vol, and I was just wanting to know, Rick, or Paul, do you think Rick Ensel, he's real famous around here, he used to coach at Shelbyville High School, he's at MTSU. Now, you think his name might be brought up to be the Tennessee basketball coach, Lady Vol?
Kevin, I don't know, but I'm sure he would be on the radar screen. Hard to predict. My guess is that coach will be hired very, very quickly. Before I go, I just want to thank you again, Kevin, for sharing your story. You continue with good health, and we appreciate it very, very much. We are 1 hour in on a very busy afternoon. We'll take a short break. Back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.